You're listening to Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent.
Blacking in and out in a strange flat in East London. Somebody I don't really know just gave me some.
Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Metherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law right here on Live 95.5. Triple threat is almost in the house. We have Big D, your host, and Little D, the executive producer. But
hey guys.
Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings is not in studio. Looks like he had a busy day doing something, so he is out there somewhere. We don't know where he's at. But
what's up, Tiff?
Anyway, you know what? We might not talk about law. We may just talk about anything but law. Of course, the call-in line is open, 256-737-9505. If you would like to call in and talk to Big D about whatever is on your mind, we can do that. We can talk about the crazy weather that we had last night. It was incredible and devastating for the community and the Cullman County. And lots of people had lots of damage, including myself. But, hey, life goes on. We pick up, we fix things, and we just move on. And that's definitely what we have to do here. So, rode through the city of Cullman today, seeing the vast amount of damage to car lots and buildings and businesses. It was just unbelievable. And I think actually some of these car lots around here had several million dollars of damage just on their lots. I mean, complete losses on their car lots. So, we know, we see that there's tons of people coming out of Birmingham and Huntsville bringing their businesses in here, trying to get roofing jobs, vinyl siding jobs, and all that. So always make sure to check with a Better Business Bureau before hiring anybody. That's just that's the way it should always be. It's not that I'm putting down any business that comes in here, but always protect yourself. That's number one, because nobody else is going to do it for you. So check with the BBB and check out some of these businesses that's trying to come in and get your business. I know I have seen so many roofs in Cullman that's got tarps on them. It's just unbelievable. I personally had a softball-sized hail at my house last night in Phelan. And let me tell you something. What a scary situation it was. I actually thought my roof was caving in, but it didn't, thank goodness. So, hey, you, like I said, give us a call, 256-737-9505, if you just want to talk about anything. Because probably we'll talk about anything and everything.
We don't have Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings in the house. So Danielle, I guess you were kind of in a safe place last night at your home, and you didn't get any actual damage at your house.
No, I live on the west side of town. So.
You live in the west side of town, so you were spared.
I was spared. Let me tell you something. So was my vehicles.
Let me tell you something. I was not. And my Yorkie and myself, we were taking cover, and after the first bad round of hail had hit my home, it was probably 15 minutes later I had round two of hail hitting my house. But, hey, look, everybody's good physically, and, hey, that's all that matters. And I know shortly after it hit Coleman, it hit Jacksonville and around Jacksonville State University, and it was just unbelievable how much damage they got. So it was crazy. Hey, look, online with Tiffany Collins. She's the owner of Abbott Vacation Rentals and also helps her out with TNT Motors. That's located right next door to Lowe's. And we've seen that they had some damage on their car lot also. Tiffany, welcome to Understanding the Law.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and thank you and Danielle so much for coming by the car lot today and for helping us out and just showing up with your sweatshirts and your tennis shoes on, ready to work, and really putting yourself out there in the community and just rolling up your sleeves and just, like I said, putting yourself to work and volunteering in the community. And it means so much to know that you got good friends like that to count on when times get rough and when everything literally falls apart like that, just to know that you got true good friends that are there for you no matter what. I just wanted to call in and tell you thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome.
To me and my family.
Well, look, your family is my family. That's the way I don't look at you as friends. I look at you as my family. So it's my duty. It's my duty to go out and help the community of Coleman. And it's my honor to be there and to help out in anything. I don't care what I'm doing. You just tell me what to do and I do it.
Thank you so much. I love you guys, and that's how I feel about y'all. And I wanted y'all to know just how much that meant to us, and I want all your listeners to know what great stand-up people you are, and just, you know, how much you do for the community and for the people all the time. You know, what you see is what you get, and just what great people you are and what great friends you are, and how much I appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate the kind words, and you know what, we're just a bunch of people that's blessed by God every single day, and we try to give back to everybody else. That's just the way that I look at it. So, on another side, look, hey, with all this crazy weather, if you want to rent a condo, you can give Tiffany Collins a call and rent a condo, leave Coleman, and go relax and have a margarita on the beach.
Yeah, for sure. Those aren't damaged. We have plenty of them open. Give me a call.
So, let's, if you will, go ahead and go over the list real quick and tell everybody in Coleman exactly where your condos are.
We have four properties in Panama City. We've got Gulf Shores, we have Perdido Key, and we have Pigeon Forge Rentals.
Awesome. And also, don't forget, if you need a pre-owned vehicle, you can check out TNT Motors. They still have some on the lot now, and great folks to buy a vehicle from, that's for sure. And they help so many people in the city and the county of Coleman. With options of financing there, and you know, TNT Motors has helped so many thousands of people to get inside of a vehicle that otherwise couldn't get one. So kudos to you and your family for everything that y'all do.
Thanks, guys.
You're very welcome. Call in anytime, come in anytime, and hang out with us in the studio. All right, I believe she's gone.
So, honey, when the storm came through last night, you disappeared on me for about 30 minutes.
Look, I was a tad bit scared.
I was worried about
it. I admit it. I was a tad bit scared. I mean, I actually thought the roof was coming down on me. It was that loud and that crazy. But
I would have wrote it out with you.
But, but I went home.
You sent me home.
All is well. And I know I don't do a lot of shout-outs, but let me do a shout-out to Burgess Body Shop for helping me out real quick and getting me in and out as quick as he could with an estimate on my truck. There were so many people there. It was unbelievable. But, you know, they've been in business for so many years, and they're such a staple in this community and have helped so many people. And let me tell you something. If you want some fine quality workmanship, Burgess Body Shop, that's where to go. So, shout out to them. I'd actually seen online a while ago. I'll give a shout out to Lawler's Barbecue up on Highway 157. I seen that they were actually carrying food to a lot of workers in Coleman. So, good for you. You know, when you do things like that for our community, we're proud of you. And we want people to eat at Lawler's Barbecue. We want people to go out and support these businesses that give back to the community. So, kudos to everybody at Lawler's Barbecue. So,
And the voices and opinions that are on Understanding the Law do not reflect 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio.
Hey, look, I haven't had any trash talk yet, so you must say it.
Well, I want to say something, so that's why I said it. Looters, please stay off people's property, yeah, or you're going to jail.
Nothing like a good looter after a good storm, is it? Mm-hmm. But you know what? They're always, you know, and that's why I told, you know, very first thing when I started, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of reputable companies that's coming into Coleman trying to get some business, but always call the Better Business Bureau. Always cover yourself.
So there, you know, we are the popular What's Happening in Coleman page, and on the way here, Daryl's delete ban. Because people do tend to put their information out there of businesses that are out of town that want to pull business from local business owners here. And we're all about supporting the local business owners.
Look, I'm all about everybody in Coleman. If you have damage to your home and you need some vinyl siding or you need some brick replaced, you need a new roof, use the folks in Coleman. I mean, we have local business owners, and that's what we do on What's Happening to Coleman Facebook page, is that we promote Coleman small business owners, and that's what we always want to do.
Honey, look who we got.
Hey, Nashville recording artist Wes Brown, that's going to be the headliner at JamFest 2018, April 21st at Camp Liberty in Battleground, Alabama.
Whoop, whoop.
How are you doing, Wes?
What's up? How are you doing?
Well, we have survived the great hailstorm of 2018 here in Coleman, and we're all trying to move on and get our houses fixed, get our vehicles fixed, and now we're just hanging out.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard the man at Miss Jacksonville up pretty bad, too.
Yeah, I seen some pictures a while ago. I seen cars flipped over. I seen apartment complexes that with the third stories completely ripped off the buildings. It was completely chaos there. And it was probably an hour and a half or so after it hit Coleman that it hit Gadsden, Jacksonville. But Jacksonville got the major brunt of it, and it's just major destruction.
Hey, Wes.
Well, hey.
Are you excited about JamFest 2018?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you for responding to my phone call, my text message so quickly.
Well, not too many times I get told to call the radio stations.
Yeah, tell everyone what you've been doing in Nashville. I've been posting here in Coleman your new song. So tell everybody about your new song that you just put out and what your story is behind it.
It's, you know, it's called Seth Winter's Rain, and it's, it's just I'm doing like a six-pack thing that's, you know, like an album, kind of, but it's of six songs, but Seth Winter's Rain is a single off of it, and, you know what, we've just been recording, just been working. You know what, it's more working than you think. But then on the off time, we all... So,
now, exactly what do you do in your off time, Wes?
That's a loaded question.
I know it was.
I don't know if that's appropriate
it.
For radio.
You know what? I don't know. I just lay around. I took care of my dad.
Wes is tired.
He is tired. He was tired earlier when I talked to him.
I've got to get on the road. You start playing again. But I ain't been doing that here lately.
The life of a musician is tough, ain't it?
Man, I'm telling you. A musician without a girlfriend is homeless. That's what they always used to say.
I hear you. So we're actually going to try to head to Camp Liberty here within the next week or two and actually start working on the stage. I've already got tons of materials in my van that's been sitting there for a week. But we can't start working on the actual stage until it dries up. But hopefully another week or two, we're going to be out there. We're going to try to reinforce some of the flooring in there to where you can possibly ride that Harley on stage.
That'd be good. That would be awesome, man.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a great time.
And we hope that we just have tons of Wes Brown followers that's going to show up at JamFest 2018.
And Wes, I made a post earlier. I tagged you in it so you can repost it. It's the first ad that goes out for JamFest, aside from the one we've been doing on what's happening in Coleman and on our personal pages. But this is the one that's in print, and it will be in the Shopper's Guide here in Coleman tomorrow. So it will be released to the public, so you can share it away with your friends. And we know you have loads of followers, and we would like people to understand that, you know, you are going to be here in Coleman. You will be at Camp Liberty at Battleground, Alabama.
So we look so forward to having you here in Coleman. I mean, there's lots of people that has personally told me we're only coming for Wes Brown. So, you know, that is huge, you know, for me to hear many people say that. So
that's good.
They are anxious to see you in action.
They ain't all police officers, are they?
So look, of course, Wes, I've got several personal friends and sponsors that want to see you and actually speak to you before you start singing. So want to do a few photo ops with you with some of these people and let you actually say hello and hang out with them that has actually sponsored this concert.
It sounds good. I can do that.
That sounds awesome.
I can do that. Well, I'm looking forward to it, y'all.
So are we. April 21st, 2018. It's Jam Fest 2018 at Camp Liberty in Battleground, Alabama. It's going to be from 3 p.m. until midnight. We have 7 acts on stage. We just added a new singer, and she is a great country singer. She's actually opened for who? Jamie Johnson, Zach Brown, and several others. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, she's got a great voice. She's actually just moved to Coleman recently. So we're excited to add her to the lineup and let you meet her, Wes. And, man, we just got all kinds of talent.
And she will be here Thursday night on the Big D Radio Show. So tune in at 6:30, and we will reveal who she is.
Exactly.
All right.
So that's
good.
Wes, thanks for giving us a call here on Understanding the Law, because we are not talking about the law tonight.
No, we're not. Love you, Wes.
I heard that.
Wes, take care, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
See you soon. All right,
bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Wes Brown, headliner of Jam Fest 2018. He's up in Nashville doing, he's cutting records left and right all the time. In studio, constantly cutting records, and proud to have him as the headliner of Jam Fest 2018.
I would like to make one thing clear about Wes. All that Wes's music that he's putting out right now are all originals. They are not someone else's music. They're
not
written
not cover
by
songs.
Him. Yeah, they're written by him and they are played by him.
Wes Brown has been in the business for so long, starting his music career down on the beach in Atmore, Alabama, and he just stayed on the beach and played the bars and the dives, and over time, he's just gotten more popular and more popular. So.
He has arrived. Here, take your seat.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the one
and only has arrived. It's marvelous Melvin Heaston.
No.
So, you know what? I guess we're going to talk about law now. We've actually talked about the bad weather and Jam Fest 2018. And Wes called in, and welcome to your own show, Understanding the Law, Melvin.
Yes, I was listening. I was listening to Wes, and I heard you say we're not going to talk about law, and I said,
We came by your office earlier. You were slammed.
I was bad.
You were slammed.
Kind of cool when you're listening instead of being here.
Yes. I've been going since 5:30 this morning.
Have you really?
Yes. Got a lot of people to see, so.
Did you have any damage at your house, by the way?
Nope.
You're awesome.
It's right. It's right down the road here, but you know it got windy, but nothing like it.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
South end of town.
Yeah, I got it. I got right at 4,000 damage on my truck. So, but you know what? I'm alive. I'm good. So I'm not worried about my truck.
So your truck was at work?
No, I was at home.
At home.
I was at home last night. It was ding 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 ding. I had softball size hail all over my house. I thought my roof was caving in, but. It's good. Life is still good.
There are
the poor dog so bad. Bless your heart.
You know, there are. I mean, I wouldn't imagine that hail would do that much damage to a roof where it's actually going through the roof and tearing the insides up. It's evidence of it. Sheriff's Department.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Dollar Tree. All these places they show on TV is unbelievable.
Yes. Verizon wireless
is completely ripped off. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just business after business in town. And some of my personal friends have got their homes completely destroyed. the hail went through their roofs, knocked their ceilings down, flooded their homes. It's just horrible. So, and you know, because when you look at the damage, you're thinking tornado. No, tornado did not do this. It was all hail. And little pea-sized hail and a softball-sized hail that was at my house. And let me tell you something, it's just really a scary situation when you're in that.
Yeah, I was looking up. I couldn't remember. I believe that all this stuff for automobiles be covered under comprehensive, I think, is what it's covered under. The problem for a lot of, excuse me, the problem for a lot of people they don't realize is that's where these deductibles come in.
Well, you know, I went back and checked mine just to make sure, and it was $500. I'm like, yep, that ain't bad.
Now you got to pay your first $500 or $1,000 or whatever else. But you know, if you've got two or three vehicles,
oh yeah,
it's $500 a vehicle. Yeah. That's what they're gonna tell you.
Exactly. And, so, and then thank goodness that Miata has got that little wrap around it, and I think that wrap is what saved my Miata. Now I'm sure I got a few dings on top of my van, but I'm not worried about it. Yeah. Can't see it.
You know, and I don't know how insurance companies are going to handle this. They're going to do what they can to save themselves money.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Exactly.
100%. So it's not, they're not going to be just writing anybody checks. They will write you a check, but it will be a lot less than what you're entitled to, what you should get. I'm wondering about the windshields, because a lot of times on insurance policies, I think windshields may be a separate thing besides your.
Everybody that I've ever known has always paid for a windshield out of their pocket.
Yeah.
So I have a good question for you, Melvin. Will you explain to people how they're to file, whether it be their homeowner's or their personal vehicle insurance? Because if it's on your property, it becomes part of your home.
I think you're going to have to file your automobile under your automobile policy now then. Things that were damaged inside of your automobile might be covered on your homeowners. Here's the problem that you're going to face. Sometimes these homeowner stuff, it's aggravating. You're required to have it if you have a mortgage. So you have a claim, you file a claim, and then what you learn is you get dropped by your insurance next time. Your insurance doubles. Or it just gets, I mean, it's so ridiculous. So you can have homeowner's insurance 20 years, not ever have a claim, file a claim, and then you pay for it for the rest of your life. I mean, by the rates. Sometimes, and if you have a claim, sometimes it's harder to get another insurance company if you're going to try to swap insurances to save money. So it gets to be a problem. So I guess sometimes what you have to do is determine, hey, is it worth it? You know, if you got a $500 homeowner's policy and you got $750 worth of stuff done, damaged, is it worth it, that $250?
No.
It's not. I mean, in
absolutely
the end,
not.
In the end, it's not, you know, because I'm going to tell you, when you make a claim, your insurance goes crazy, even if it's not your fault on homeowner's stuff.
The
so,
only time it doesn't affect is when the governor does...
What the state of emergency stuff.
Right.
Why don't you explain, Melvin, if you can, what does that state of emergency mean to regular folks out here? Does it mean anything with their policies or what?
I don't know how much. I really don't know. I can't answer that question. I think what they've learned to do is when they declare a state of emergency with all these snowstorms and these major storms and stuff that's coming through, first of all, the kids love it because they don't have to make up the school days.
Right.
I know that's crazy, but I think I'm wondering if that ain't some purpose of doing this stuff. It kicks in, doesn't it kick in the laws about gouging? You know, if there's any kind of price gouging, I think it kicks in those laws.
Okay.
How does it benefit? You know, it probably brings in federal money and stuff like that. But for the average Joe Blow citizen,
nothing.
I don't know that it helps you.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
I don't know that it does.
I've never seen where it does. I've never seen where anybody got money out of it.
The reason being is these insurance contracts. I mean, they're contracts. They're between you and the insurance company, and no, you know, and nobody else can intervene. And I mean, you can file a lawsuit and have them declared what do they mean or whatever else, but nobody else, like a state of emergency thing or anybody else, can intervene and change the terms of that policy. If you have a claim, you have damage, you go through the process. And listen, when you go file suits on these property damage claims, it's not like a wreck where you have injuries and stuff like that, where you're definitely going to recover money. And even you're not going to get attorneys to do it, is what I'm getting down to it, because sometimes you don't want to, because you're going to spend so much money, half your money is going to be gone. So it's one of them things, you're almost at the mercy of the insurance company, and you just got to be persistent about it. Sometimes it may be a benefit that there's so many claims coming in, they're still going to save money, but they may not be meticulous about it. For instance, if you got a car that's totally damaged, it's just totaled for the value of it, and they want to say the value of it's worth is $2,500, and you're trying to say, no, the value of it's $3,500. You got a better shot at, probably with all these claims coming in, than to say, hey, here's your $3,500, go on.
Right.
Even though that sounds crazy, the claims representatives, they're going 24 hours a day now. So they'll label what they're doing. So they will be writing some checks, but then it ain't gonna be like what you want.
Were you able to get out any
today? Huh?
Were you able to get out any today? On the road, did you get out?
No, I didn't even go down. I didn't even go down. I've been.
Yeah, there's people everywhere.
There's people
rubbernecking.
Rubbernecking. Yeah, I didn't even go down. So I ain't even been south end of town.
Yeah, it was crazy. So Melvin, how long? Because I'll admit, I have not done a claim on my vehicle, and I can't tell you when. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. It's probably 30 years. I don't know. So how long in something like this with so many? How long does it usually take for your insurance company to actually write you a check for your damaged vehicle?
Well, the way they do it now is they'll come out. So if you go and get an estimate,
which I did today,
okay, and they will usually they may come to your house. Sometimes they'll come to where you go get an estimate at, and they'll just write it. They'll say all right, and then they'll write you a check. Mm. You know, if they're looking at something, saying, no, this is too much, whatever else. But with most of the real body shops around here, they have a working relationship. Most all these insurance companies have a relationship with them. So if they write something, I mean, the body shops know what to write,
right,
that the insurance is going to pay for.
Right.
And the insurance companies know the body shop, so they're going to come write you a check.
So
minus your deductible, of course.
Yeah. So now, because I've heard in the past about claims adjusters. Now, is that for people that come out to just do adjustments on your house, or does it count for your vehicles also, or what?
They do. I think they do. Some, I mean, there may be some that just does automobiles, but like these guys over at Alpha, Les and James Ricks, I think they do it all. I think they do house, they do automobiles, or any type of thing. So some of the big, I mean, you know, if you got just auto owner's insurance policy, for instance, then auto owners is probably just do automobiles.
Right.
You know, they'll be coming from Birmingham or wherever else. There are adjusters probably coming in from other states to Alabama now, in Coleman, Alabama, because it's going to be unbelievable.
And, like I said earlier, I just hope that these folks here in Coleman use as local businesses for everything that they need.
Yes.
And we understand that people want to do the economical thing.
Yep.
But always remember, the money that you spend here generates here and supports back in the
exactly.
community.
That's all we want. That's what I want. Anyway, I mean, I'm open for everybody to have business and to make money, but I always want to support the Coleman community, number one.
Yep. You're going to have to be patient. That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to have to get in line.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that you know, that we've been through disasters before.
Most
of these local people know how to handle it. But I imagine the ones that they can, hey, let's tarp this roof. We'll come back and get it hopefully next week or something.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully people will be patient enough to do that. And like you said, not get these. Because I guarantee there's
they have been posted on my Facebook page, and I've been deleting them left and right.
So I bet there's roofers coming from
Mobile,
Alabama, Georgia. And everywhere else.
I've had a bunch of them trying to post, and I just deleted their ads.
And you got to be careful, you know, what happened with the tornadoes on April 27th. Some of these people would come in, and then they'd do whatever job, and then they would charge the they'd get the money from the insurance company, but they'd say that wasn't enough to cover the bill, and then they'd be trying to sue you or send you a bill or whatever else for the extra amount. So you need to know.
That's what I said.
You
got to
go through the process. You got to be careful how you're handling your business.
Exactly. So if you're scared of hurricanes, do not move to Miami. Okay, if you're scared of snow, do not move to New York. If you're scared of tornadoes, and hell, get away from Coleman, Alabama.
You know, it's been a while since we had a hailstorm like this. I think in the mid-90s or something.
We had one about a year and a half ago, because I remember it, me sitting on the front porch, and it hailed for like 10 or 15 minutes.
But a major one like this one.
No, you wasn't there. But it was crazy. I mean, I could hear it. I could hear it, and then it was like 5 minutes. It was banging my house. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and actually talk about the law some. You're listening to Understanding the Law right here on Live 95.5 with Coleman attorney, Marvelous Melvin Hasten. We'll be back in just a moment.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. There are a lot of signs on the side of the road right now, which means an election is coming up. Sure, name recognition is good, but in 2018, voters expect a little more than that. We can help. Radio is a great medium to tell voters more about yourself, your platform, and your goals. Our very own Melissa with Live 95 is ready to take your call at 256-339-5554. 256-339-5554. Live 95 can help get your message out to Coleman County.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hasting. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
That's Melvin on guitar, by the way.
I need to try to learn how to play that.
I've been trying to get guitar lessons from Christopher Greer, and it hasn't happened yet. I need to learn how to play. So what's going on with the law? Anything funny? Anything important?
Well, let me see. I don't know that it's funny. I tell you some stuff that's going on. I got to be careful sometimes about cases.
About what you say.
Yeah,
I know.
What I'm saying, but there are cases. They may be finished by now, but this is criminal jury week, so there's different kind of cases. But let me tell you. Let me just tell you this. And I didn't. I've been doing this 16 years, and I didn't realize a case. It is, or a law. It is a felony, and I emphasize a felony, to make a material misrepresentation in a workers' comp claim. And that's what it says. So it does it. I mean, the statute, the way it's written, is crazy. So a felony, and it's a Class C felony. So what is a Class C felony? Give you examples. Burglarizing buildings, not homes, but buildings. Drug use. Rape second. Theft second. So theft is something more than $500. So, I mean, that's pretty serious crimes, pretty well. And them are Class A felonies. But if you make a false workers' comp, make a material misrepresentation or false statement in a workers' comp claim, it gets the same sentence. It's the same class of felonies.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
You in a felony at that.
Yeah, yeah. So you would think that I would think that if they made that a crime, if they made it a crime, that it would be probably a misdemeanor. It just wouldn't be up there in the class of felonies.
Right.
So, and this is not, it's not, now you can make a false claim and that would probably fall in the law, but this says a material misrepresentation. So, I mean, you could lie about anything about it, really, okay, and get charged with a felony.
Wow.
Yes.
How many times does that happen in a year's time in America?
I don't know. I mean, you know, and how many states has that law where the insurance companies have brought the laws? But anyway, but Alabama and probably a few other states around. But that just stunned me. I was dumbfounded when I found that out. So that was something I learned. But I don't know the other type of cases that were set this week that they're handling. They're probably drug type cases, I think. They were going to do some murder cases, but different things happened in those cases that didn't get to them this time.
Just staying on that same note, do you ever get any workman's comp cases to where maybe the company doesn't want to pay the workman's comp?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them does.
Do you?
Well, yeah, and sometimes it's the company. So workers' comp, as a business, you either pay insurance premiums like it's any other kind of insurance, so you pay premiums and some insurance companies cover them, or if you're a big company like Walmart, some of these big companies, they self-insure. So a lot of the big major businesses, they self-insure themselves, so they just get this fund and they throw they put so much money for each worker in there, you know, that's just part of, I guess it's kind of your benefits or whatever else, they pay that money in there. And I think with the workers' comp law, they have to have so much money. There's a formula they go through. They got to keep so much money in there for the amount of money they spend on employees and stuff. So that is something that we take in consideration when we do workers' comp cases. Whose money are you getting into? And are you getting into insurance money, company's money, or are you getting into a company's money? So a company will fight you because they get, you know, that's their, the way they look at it, that's their money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they'll probably will fight you more than if it's an insurance money. But regardless, they all have deductibles. They got so much they have to pay out and meet anyway on a workers' comp claim. But I'm going to tell you, workers' comp, the worker don't end up with a lot of money, but it's costly. I mean, workers' comp claims are very costly. The treatment, they hire these case managers, they call them their nurses. The nurses are supposed to be working for you, and they're supposed to be making sure that you're getting everything that you're entitled to. I always remind most of these case managers, that I was like, even though you're getting paid by the insurance company and by the business, you know you work for the injured employee.
Exactly.
You have to remind me once in a while, because the whole idea of having a case manager is not to – I guess in the laws a little bit, or the provisions that allows them, it states, you know, they can be kind of be more efficient and help them be more efficient and stuff like that. But they are supposed to work for the worker. They're supposed to make sure that any x-rays or CT scans and stuff like that needs to be done, that you're getting your doctor's appointments, that surgeries are getting approved, that everybody's getting, you know, that the medicine's getting approved and everything else. And sometimes what you run into with them is that they're end up being a roadblock, these yeah. case managers. So I, when I get them type of workers' comp claims and people in, I usually call the case manager or I send them an email and say, I just want to remind you of what your goal is. We want to make sure we all on the same page about what your job is in this claim. And then usually their attitude changes. Once we remind them what they're supposed to be doing, usually their attitude changes.
Now, are these big companies taking their profits that they have to put separately for workman's comp?
No, I mean, they have to maintain their own account. So what they do, like for instance, Walmart is a self-insurer because they're huge. So instead of paying some unimaginable amount of premiums over there, instead of paying premiums to the insurance company, I guess they set aside so much money in their own account. So they have their own account that handles
that. Would have to be lots of money because they've got so many workers.
That is hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's
I guarantee
unbelievable.
It's, yeah, it'd be a lot of money. A lot of money is set aside for that. And then what you have is they get these I think they call them TPAs or something, but they're third party adjusters. So there's someone. So if you have a claim against Walmart, there will be a third party person that comes in and they'll administer the claim so it looks like they're not biased in some form.
We're going to take one moment. We'd had an emergency alert to come on, so
you're good now.
All right, we're now good.
I thought that maybe Walmart was sending that signal out to me to shut up.
Tim Lemon and Big Data, shut up. About and you're banned from our stores.
Yes.
We have face recognition. Do not come in our stores anymore.
Hey, there's a company. I don't know if it's them, but there's a company that's in a little bit of trouble because that face recognition, I guess what has happened, because someone had told me about this, about a couple of cases that was going on, something about that face recognition and then the name, but the warrant was taken out. So if you're trespassed from Walmart, if you go shoplift from Walmart, then you're trespassed from there. Well, they got this system that recognizes, they take a picture of you and they can recognize your face. So if you are Joe Smith that's banned from Walmart, and then you're in there, they can go file to get warrants for you, you know, for trespassing. So what has happened, what I've been told has happened, is that maybe Joe Smith lives in Hansville, but they got a warrant for Joe Smith that lives in Vinemont. So they go arrest Joe Smith in Vinemont that wasn't in there on that day. So now they're in some trouble. So
now is that Joe Smith going to sue Walmart?
Yes,
for
that's what's going on. That's what's happening.
Wow.
So, yeah. So they got to be careful about these common names and making sure that they got to match them names up. But yeah, there are some people that's been arrested that wasn't in Walmart. They was at work that day or whatever.
Would that
else.
Fire you up?
Oh, it'd be bad. Yeah, come get you arrested for trespassing when you're not trespassed out of Walmart. But so these most of them that I've dealt with. I mean, I'm not going to say they don't like workers' comp claims, of course, because that drives their cost up and stuff like that. But there's not many of them that just absolutely fights it, unless it's something they know is just totally frivolous. But them common, the back injuries are the biggest ones, you know. And you don't get a lot of money. People don't get a lot of money out of back injuries. But if someone, you know, depending on the type of work they do, the type of education they got and all that stuff, it can turn into a costly deal for companies with back injuries. And you know, they sometimes in the negotiating what we're going to pay out and how much this person really injured, they look in the prior history. Hey, they've had back injuries before, and is this a new injury or is it an aggravation of the old injury? So a lot of that goes into play when you're negotiating them things out.
I mean, have you said before with the workman's comp, there's only a certain amount of money that you're going to get if your fingers are cut off or your foot or
so there are scheduled injuries, which are if it involves your limbs, if it involves your legs or your arms, it can be your fingers. I mean, they have them for loss of one fingers, two fingers. I think I'm trying to remember my schedule. It may actually have it first, second, third knuckles or whatever. Right. If you just lose the end of your finger versus the middle of your finger or whatever else. But they have them all the way up. And, there's so much money. Like, for instance, I want to think a leg is 220 weeks. So whatever pay you got, 220 weeks or 110 weeks, whatever it is, I can't remember. I know 220 is how much the maximum amount they pay on permanent partial disability, but you get a check for that amount of money and that's it. Yeah,
and you've lost your limb for life.
You've lost your limb for life. Yep,
man, that is just
you can get around it.
That's crazy.
I haven't had any cases where you get around it, which I ain't had that many where you actually lose a limb or something. But if there's a safety device issue, then you can get around workers' comp laws. But you know, you're going to have to prove that the employer did alter the safety device, didn't use the safety device, didn't have it on there, it was broken, or whatever else knew about it. So you can get outside the workers' comp laws with that.
Can you imagine your fine from OSHA if they found out that you
deterred?
It'd be bad. I don't know throughout the history if OSHA has ever shut down a place of employment. Because
I'm sure they have, and they probably have the ability to do it. After, I don't know if they can do it with just like if it had to be something major. I think for like a first time offense, but these repeat offenders, I'm sure they do.
Shut down.
They probably shut them down, or they fine them so much.
I'm talking hefty fines too.
Yeah,
it ain't no drop in the bucket.
And the other thing, because I deal with workers' comp cases too, but I also represent some of these businesses and that have got issues. And unfortunately, with some of these businesses, they think, well, hey, I've got this general liability policy that covers everything. But if you're a business and you got liability, general liability, you really – trucking business, I've handled some cases with some trucking businesses and stuff like that. These general policies that they sell you that you pay tons of money for, when you start, you'll read the policy. Once you first read the policy, you look at it, you think, all right, good, this covers me. This is great. But on in them policies that you see is all these addendums that they have at the end of it, and they exclude everything. So I got a case. Let me think which one it is. I got one case. I know which one it is now. Where a worker, he wasn't even the employer. This was like a subcontractor. He does business, and he had subcontracted out somebody else, and then that person's employee got hurt. Well, when you the business that I represent, when you read his policy, just the general part of the policy, you think, well, there's going to be some coverages here. But as you dig into it and see all the exclusions, I was so twisted up. I couldn't even figure out how these, because it excludes things from paragraph 1A, whatever it don't even tell you the page numbers. So you got a page and a paragraph that says one thing, and then behind it you'll have two or three exclusions on down here 50 pages later that totally changes all the wording in that. And when I got done, I spent 3 or 4 hours just reviewing his policy, and I was so confused. I was thinking, what do they even cover?
Exactly,
you know, what is this guy paying $3,000 or $4,000 a year, or however much he's paying for premiums? What do they even cover? They don't cover nothing, you know. And another thing that these liability policies that you see, if there's a claim filed against you, and they come out, investigate it, and even if they determine that you're not at fault or whatever else, but if there's a claim of fault against you, there's a lot of provisions in there that says you're going to be responsible for paying the cost back for reviewing that claim. I mean, they'll send you a bill for the month for the stuff you do, and you're just thinking, man, because when you go to an insurance agent, you say, hey, I'm running this kind of company. What kind of insurance I got? Oh, we got the insurance you need. So they say this insurance, and you ask them, well, what does this cover? What covers whatever you need to do? But you know, they'll always tell you, now, it don't cover workers' comp stuff, but anything else, this is a general liability policy. It covers you. Everything's good. Well, what if I get sued? Don't worry about it. They'll get you a lawyer and the claim be handled, and it's all great and fine. You think, man, this is great. I get me a lawyer. I get everything else if something's filed against me. You write your premiums and write your checks. Then lo and behold, something happens, either a contract action or some kind of claim comes about, and then next thing you know, you're getting a bill for the lawyer fees and stuff.
Right.
And you think, man, I thought this was covered. This was part of my premiums. And they're telling you half truths, because you do get a lawyer. They do send a lawyer out there if you get a claim to represent you and everything else, but man, you have to pay a lot. They don't tell you at the end, oh yeah, by the way, when this claim's settled, we take the fees out of you're going to pay the fees back or whatever else. You know, if you get some money against you, we're going to take that part out of the proceeds. You may have to pay so much of it. It's just, I don't know. They're aggravating.
Now, someone starting off a small business, don't they have to have at least 4 employees before they even have to worry about workers' comp?
I want to say it's 5.
5?
Yeah, okay. I think it's 5 employees. Oh, man. See, I don't think I've ever had to had a situation where I had to really research exactly what it says. I believe the board of directors and stuff like that's not included, I don't think.
Right.
But I think anybody that works, I think they include the owners because, you know, for instance, If I got a farm here, a chicken farmer, let's just say I got a chicken farmer here and I've got 4 employees working for me. So right. The question is, hey, is it required for me to have workers' comp? And the question would be, is it just those 4 employees or does the owner count as one also?
Right.
And I'm thinking that the owner does count as one.
All right, so let me ask you this. What if one of those employees on that farm got hurt? Is the owner of the farm, the man, the employer, is he going to go pay his hospital bill?
You're saying if he has workers' comp or if he doesn't?
If he doesn't,
okay. If you are required to have workers' comp in Alabama, and if you don't have workers' comp, then the penalty is double the indemnity. You'll still be, I mean, the medical bills, yes, they can come. I mean, you're responsible for the medical bills, but the amount of money. So let's say that worker does something, loses his arm, and let's say he's entitled by just the regular workers' comp laws, he's entitled to $10,000, let's just say. So if you don't have workers' comp, then the law states they have to pay double that indemnity, so that they'll have to pay $20,000 for that injury. So that's the incentive. Well,
to make you go ahead and buy.
The medical bills, you just have to pay the medical bills. But here's my question. So if this worker is injured, he goes to the hospital, he can file it on workers' comp, he can file it against whoever he wants to, but how is the hospital, let's say this guy had to have surgery and all that stuff, how are they going to go collect it from the employer? You know what I'm saying? They can't enforce that.
Exactly.
Now, I guess what they do and what will happen is if that issue comes about, the Department of Revenue, the Department of Industrial Relations, if for some reason I want to say, I was thinking they changed their name, but I don't think they are. I think they're still the Department of Industrial Relations. They do all the workers' comp stuff in Alabama. So I guess what happens is if your employer doesn't have it, then you go to them. And listen, he's just going to be out of business.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. And he's going to shut his business down. And then you're just out of luck. Now I've never had to deal with this either, but I believe that the state has something. It's kind of like a backup deal for them kind of claims. So you're injured on the job, you find out that your employer don't have workers' comp at all, I believe that you, I mean, what I do is, if somebody comes to me and tells me that situation, I say, look, you need to call the Department of Industrial Relations, the Workers' Comp Division, talk to someone down there and see what's available. I believe that state may have something they can, I don't know that they'll pay you any money, but they may help out with medical bills and stuff.
No, I mean, I think it's something that everybody needs to know if they're going to go work on a farm or where they don't provide workers' comp. So you need to think about that in case you do get hurt and what's going to happen.
Yes, and there are some people that are excluded from having workers' comp. For instance, the way some of these companies, and I'm talking about the smaller companies, get around it is self-contractors. You don't have to have workers' comp for a self-contractor. So what they will do is, they'll hire this person, not as their employee, but as a self-contractor to come in and do this work for them. But they changed, seemed like there was some legislation a few years ago where they changed that and kind of made it harder. So I guess what happens is probably the Department of Revenue, which receives your taxes and stuff, if they, you know, these people that we're talking about, don't pay people's taxes, you know what I'm saying? Right. They just give them cash money. Exactly. So it's hard for them to control it. But if they were to pay their taxes, the payroll taxes and stuff in, then it would go through the Department of Revenue. And I guess at some point they probably got some way of clicking, hey, this person's or this business got 5 employees or 10 employees or whatever else. And they probably have to – it probably links it over to the Department of Industrial Relations. And I guess they can check and see, make sure you have the workers' comp stuff because yeah, if you know, if some poor person is injured on a job, then I mean, what, you know, what if they're killed? You know, and that
exactly.
does happen.
Exactly.
You know, what if something drastic happens and they're killed, and then their family's just left without anything? You know, they have dependents, a wife and kids, whatever else. Then it gets to be can be a big issue.
So we have a professional on in this area, and she says it's the Department of Labor.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it is called the Department of Labor.
When you do unemployment report with Department of Labor and there is no workers' comp policy, they get a letter. But if they have to have a certificate that they have workers' comp on their own, and then she adds to, or doing an audit, they will change them workers' comp for contractors.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I was thinking that I knew one of them had changed, and it's not the Department of Industrial Relations no more. It is called the Department of Labor.
So if, let's say this happened and this gentleman was killed and no workman's comp, can the family do like a civil lawsuit against this guy?
Yes, but all he's got to do is go to...
File bankruptcy?
Go file bankruptcy and it's over with. Wow. That's the problem. That's the problem. Go. So unless you find some other way of collecting money, I mean, that's it. You know, and okay, so let's go to this homeowner stuff. You know, homeowner's insurance is going to exclude stuff that you know, if you're working or in a capacity as working. So it's going to be hard to get money. Okay, he's working on his farm. So you think, well, maybe there's some kind of a homeowner's, you know, maybe I can get
right.
a person's homeowner's
exactly.
insurance
to
and see if it'll pay, but there's going to be some exclusions
with him actually doing
labor.
Yep. And that's not homeowners.
Yep.
So I got
excluded
you.
Out. So
interesting.
It's
stuff.
Tough. Yeah. You got to be, I mean, when you're not working with a business that's got 20, 30, 40 employees, yeah, you're at
right.
their mercy.
Wow.
You just got to be careful. And realize that, you know, hey, even if you're working at Walmart, some big multi-million-dollar company, you get hurt pretty good, you're not going to be a millionaire. You're not. You know,
exactly.
I promise
you're
you.
Not.
You're going to get a little bit of money.
That's not going to last
and
much.
And you're going to get some lifetime. You're going to get lifetime benefits for the injury, lifetime medical benefits. But what you'll learn is later on, as you get further away from the claim, the harder it is to say, because they only have to pay for the injury that is related to your work, to your work-related injury. So what they'll say, you know, treatment of it. So what they'll do later on down the line, 10 years from now, they'll say, hey, that you had a back injury then, but in the last 10 years, you've done something else to hurt
right.
your back. It's not related to your
exactly.
to your previous injury. So that's where those case managers come in, and they're supposed to be working for you. And they're over trying to talk to the physician, saying, "He's really, this is really not a new injury, is it? Blah blah, you know." So, right. So once you find out that stuff happens, that's when usually when I write them a letter, or give them a phone call or an email, and just kind of remind them what their real job is.
Melanie, will you do me a favor and give out your office phone number, please? You have someone that wants to make an appointment.
My office phone number is 256-736-2230.
He had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I had to think about it. I don't call it that often. I just push redial. My phone, so
yeah, if you need a Coleman attorney, give them a call,
see if we can help you out. I do most stuff. I go to the bankruptcies. I don't do the bankruptcies, but I got two or three, four lawyers around here that I usually refer them to, and like closings, real estate closings, I usually have a couple of them I refer them to. But most other stuff, I handle and try to help out who I can, so make a little bit of money every once in a while on it.
Exactly. It's all about the money, Melvin. It is for me.
Well, you got to have a business.
That's
it. I tell you, it cost, let me see, I figured it up one time. It cost me, I ain't figured it up lately, but it's probably $4,000, $4,500 a month before I get the first dime. So yeah. I got to make at least $4,000, $4,500 just to have an office. Yeah. Yep. So it's
costly. Thank goodness for them criminals.
Yeah.
I can't help it. That just cracks me up sometimes. You know, some of these people, they go out and they break the law, and they call Melvin, and 6 months later, they're breaking the law again.
Hey, let me tell you this, because I know we're out of time, but I got to tell you this. So I look on AO.com, felon back behind bars after lawmen say he stole two liter bottle of Mountain Dew during home break-in. So this idiot in Etowah, he's 44 years old. Now he's on parole for robbery, where he's got a 20-year sentence. So he's done been paroled out in 2005 is when he had it when he was convicted. But he has a 20-year sentence, and he's since then been paroled out. So he breaks into a house with a person there that is key, and he steals a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, leaving the house. So he is charged with burglary second degree, which is a Class B felony, normally is a 2 to 20 year sentence, but since he's at least got one prior, and it depends, he's got a prior robbery. I don't know if that's robbery second or robbery first. If it's robbery first with a Class A felony, he could be looking at, probably, he may be looking at, if that's the only cases he's got, but they said he has multiple cases. So this guy's probably got a life sentence, and he may even be looking at life without parole
over stealing.
He broke into a house. I mean, that was number one problem. But stealing something, if you commit a crime when you break into a house, it makes it a burglary, boy, and it's serious stuff.
He was thirsty, Melvin.
I guess, but Lord,
Mountain Dew hits the spot, man. So, yeah.
Well, it says here he admitted to using illegal narcotics before the break-in.
Say it ain't so.
That's true. So, okay, and then he's also charged with attempting to loot. He tried to run from deputies.
No, he did not, Melvin.
So that poor 44-year-old is going back where he needs to, man. I mean, if you're breaking people's houses.
That's crazy.
When they're home, that's the key. Breaking people's houses is bad anyway.
Right.
But if you do it when they're home, that's
makes
even
it
worse. Yes. And if you got something in your hand that can be construed as a weapon, then you're really bad. You're in really bad shape. And deservedly so.
Yep, exactly. So hopefully he'll go to the big house and hang out
for
a while.
He'll go to the big house for a little while.
And have fun there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hasten. You can catch us next Tuesday again at 6 p.m. for another edition. And don't forget about the Big D Radio Show this Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Bobby Hill with New Life Church will be in the studio with us. And after that, it's all musicians again. And we got a young man coming from Corner, Alabama, and a new surprise. And we have a new country singer. She'll be coming in also on Thursday. So we can't wait to introduce you to all these new people. And they're going to be at Jam Fest 2018, Camp Liberty, Battleground, Alabama, April 21st, 3 p.m. to midnight. It's going to be lots of fun. Stay safe and be good. We'll catch you next time.
broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come up, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.
Come up, baby.
This might be the last, that's all. What I'm thinking, you see, for little
souls.
Last night they loved you, opening doors and pulling some strings.
Angel,
come up, baby. In walk luck and you looked in time. Never look back, walk tall at fine.
Come up, baby.
Down where you once belonged, in the back of a dream car, 20 foot long. Don't cry, my sister, don't break my heart. Doing all right, you've got to get smart. Wish upon day upon day. I believe, oh Lord, I believe all the way.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
There's my baby, lost that song.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come up, baby.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows, run for the shadows in these golden years.
I'll stay with you, baby, for a thousand years.
Nothing's going to touch you in these golden years.
Let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come up, baby.